You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. It's 10:01 Central Time, 11:01 Eastern Time. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And I want to thank Larry from Radio Maria and want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. We're going to begin with prayer, as we always do. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, we sort of take the Our Father prayer for granted a bit. I know I do, or at least I used to. And now when we recognize that when the apostles asked Jesus, how do we pray? He could have given them volumes of prayers and litanies and novenas and everything. But he gave them all one simple prayer, which encapsulates everything, especially with what's to come. Bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God. And we were created to be here today. Again, we're very, very grateful to have awakened both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. So again, the School of Mary on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Radio Maria, God bless Radio Maria for this opportunity. And we have with us, as always, Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live from Italy. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Everything, everything is well. We woke up. How can it be a bad day? Mother, this is going to be a great session today because we're going to touch on something that I don't think we've talked about. We may have scratched the surface on, but prayer and fasting, of course, both of which are they fuel each other, and they help prepare us for what is to come. And we're doing so. And actually, the second part of today's program, we'll have a guest with us, Maureen Flynn of Signs and Wonders of our Times. And also chairperson of the upcoming International Week of Prayer and Fasting, which again, prayer and fasting has a direct placement. The divine will has a direct placement for prayer and fasting to the likes that we have not been privy to. And again, we're going to explore that with Mother and with the sisters, and then speak to Maureen about that upcoming international conference and the correlation it has with the divine will. You know, Mother, fasting, at least when I was growing up, fasting was only limited to food. But now, you know, the whole breadth of it, you know, it's really the invitation to fast is a preparatory invitation. And, it's the two F's. If we fast, we prepare ourselves to feast. And again, with the fasting, we help prepare. In fact, it's, what was it? Psalm 35 says, fasting is a way to humble ourselves in the sight of God. King David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. So with fasting, we actually rely on God more for his strength and for the clarity. Again, when we fast, I think let's talk about food. We clear our stomachs, our minds can think better. I know us Italians, when we eat too much, we can't think because we get sleepy. By the way, I have too much pasta, but when we're hungry, we're always, think about it. We're always sharper, probably because we're again, hungry. Hunger is not just for food. Hunger is the spiritual hunger. And I think once we aren't making ourselves sleepy with the consumption, we can think better and we can be more poised to receive the grace that God wants to give us. Mother, sisters, any comments on that?
Yeah, well, you know, Our Lady asked for fasting in Medjugorje on Wednesdays and Fridays on bread and water. Our Lady said the best fast is bread and water fast. She didn't say how much you can eat, but, you know, you can eat whenever you're hungry, I guess, on bread and water. But, you know, fasting is just like prayer. you know, moves mountains. And we know that today is also the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, which we know the Rosary is a great weapon. It has performed many miracles in the past. Lots of chastisements have been avoided and completely done away with through the prayer of the Rosary and also fasting. And Our Lady on April 17th, 1986 in Medjugorje said, pray for the gift of fasting. So fasting is a gift. And she says, fast with love. Don't be burdened over fasting, but you should look forward to it because you know what it's going to do for your soul. Mortification is so important for us. It's the only way we grow in humility and realize our nothingness is through constant mortification. Louisa fasted 64 years. She didn't eat. She was ordered to eat because out of obedience, she ate. Her spiritual, her confessor wanted her to eat. So she ate, but nothing could stay down. It would come up again whole, just as if it had never been eaten. So she wasn't digesting any food. And she just did it out of obedience. I'm sure it was a painful experience for her. That was part of a mortification for her too. And when she was young, when she could eat, I was just reading today and our Lord would tell her if she was picking the food that she liked to eat most, things that tasted good, our Lord would reprimand her and tell her to choose the food she didn't like to eat. So she would leave the food behind that she liked to eat and bring it to the kitchen to the one cooking and say, I really don't want this. You know, sometimes she would go without eating very much, you know, so, you know, here in our community, we like to eat. You know, and
the secret's so, out.
So it's,
I would have never guessed.
Yeah. So it's a good mortification for us to do the fasting on bread and water on Wednesdays and Fridays. And I was reading, this community in Alabama, Caritas, they go they fast every Wednesday and Friday on bread and water, but they also do a 9-day fast 3 times a year on bread and water. And the one writing the book says he gets tired. He goes to bed a little earlier because he's tired, but he prays much better during those 9 days. His prayer life is much better. He says he practices virtue more. He gets many spiritual benefits from it. So fasting is not only good also for the soul, but for the body. It's healthy.
Mother, let me ask you a question then. If I love bread and I love water. So if I just have bread and water, I'm really not sacrificing anything. Is that really fasting or should I fast from something else?
Well, you know, since Our Lady said bread and water. Enjoy the bread and water.
Okay. I do that every day.
And
okay,
you know great. What you say in divine will? You say, Jesus, come eat this and drink this water. Come eat this bread in me and drink this water in me. And you're gonna be doing a divine act. So it doesn't matter if you like it or not. If you enjoy it, that's fine. You know, don't worry about it. You know, if you want to do besides that, since you enjoy bread, I would go with the bread and water. Enjoy yourself on Wednesday and Friday as you eat the bread and drink the water. But you could also do something, you know, that's difficult for you. Maybe not watching television or doing something you like to do. Maybe something you like to eat besides bread and water. Maybe sweets and you give that up for a day or two or a few days, you know. I mean, there are many ways to fast. People can choose different ways to fast. Some people have to eat. They're diabetic. They have to eat. But they can also fast on other things, you know, so.
Right. And the food preparation is a preparation for the spiritual fasting, which is the most important.
Right. But it's, you know, the fasting is good, whatever you want to fast from, whether it's television or, you know, playing games or video games, people can fast from video games.
Judging people.
Judging people. Yeah. That's, we're supposed to do, not do that anyway. We're supposed to practice virtue.
In the Philippines, bread is very expensive. So they tend to just eat banana or potato.
Just for all of those Philippines audience we have, maybe in other countries where bread is not really the common food and it's more expensive to go to the store to buy flour and they don't have oven to cook it. It's not just a cultural thing. And so what we did with my grandparents when they fasted, they instead of eating rice and fish, they would go with banana or cooked potato or tomato, nothing else, just that. Because these are cheaper, available for the poor, and it's common in the area. They don't have to break an arm or a leg to buy something, an oven for bread. So it depends on what culture, wherever you come from.
It's also a rice. Some people, if they can't go with bread, they could eat rice, you know. So you could do potatoes, but Our Lady did say the best fast is bread and water. You can make your own bread, just get a little bread maker or in the oven, get your flour. If you can buy flour, that's cheap enough, I think, you know, and you can make your own, you know,
did you want- yeah. Maybe make it so it doesn't taste so good. So then it's a sacrifice.
Yeah, right. We're not there yet. When I was in New York, I thought it's very hard for me to fast it up with my family. But I thought, oh, I can fast. There's a lot of bagel stores around. I thought that's probably missing the point. But as Sister Magdalena was talking, I was thinking of something I read earlier in volume one. I can't find exactly where the passage is, but Jesus was telling Louisa that the most important part of it is dying to her will, is mortifying her will. And I think that's why fasting is so important, because it really does mortify our will. I mean, we need food to survive, so we can't just give up food cold turkey, but we have to get used to not eating what necessarily we want to eat. And even Jesus told Louisa, like, when I want you to eat, I want you to do it in my will, because she would complain that sometimes he would want her to eat and sometimes he wouldn't. And sometimes when he wouldn't, her confessor would force her to eat, and then she would end up throwing it up. So poor Louisa, she was kind of going back and forth a lot, but it was really, the point was so she would die to her will, that only look at what God wanted and not what she wanted.
That's true. It's a leash. You know, the physical fasting is a leash to, so that we can fast from judging others, you know, from discontentment, from worry, complaining, idle gossip, all the things that we shouldn't be doing. Again, but the preparatory, I mean, the food hits the home because the body needs it. So if we can sacrifice and deprive ourselves of that, we can actually realize how unnecessary those other things are, like discontentment, worry, fear, anxiety, all those other things that we can fast from, that we have to fast from. Again, as we go closer to God, I think the grace will be given to us so that we can overcome all of this, especially during these times. Mother?
So, and also, to follow the flesh is to lead to death. You know, we give into the flesh and many things, always taking what we want to eat, always satisfying the flesh. You know, if we want to grow in holiness, if we want to have peace, we have to prune the flesh. We can't be given into ourselves all the time. To mortify yourself is very good for you spiritually and physically, but you get peace. You get a lot of peace. Days when we fast, I feel I can pray better. You know, you're not as distracted. Your mind is clearer. Like you said, Peter, you get a clear mind. So fasting is very important. It helps us to grow in virtue. Yes, we don't want to be critical or gossipy or, you know, making rash judgments. But the way to get to that point maybe is to deprive the flesh of what it wants, to mortify the flesh. Then you have the ability to practice virtue and not be saying everything you want to say, or, you know, putting yourself out there for attention or whatever, when you could be silent, you know. It's hard to stop doing those things unless you purify the flesh in some way, mortify your flesh in some way. So, you know, I think that volunteer fasting, of course, it can save us a lot of misery and even health problems. You know, we have to, whenever we sin always brings unpeace. Peace brings worry. Worry can bring anger. Anger can bring bitterness. And it destroys the container that it holds, the soul, you know, the presence of God within. We lose that peace, we lose that joy when we're constantly giving into our flesh, whatever it may be. There's so many things out in the world, entertainments, drugs, sex, alcohol, all these things people satisfy the flesh with, and then they become broken, they become so unhappy, you know, because we were made to know, love, and serve God, to be happy with him in this world and the next. So if we follow his laws and we deprive our flesh and mortify ourselves, we'll be happy in this life and in the next.
That's right.
The purpose of the fasting is to make a sacrifice, and it is to be done with love and out of gratitude. I read a interesting story in the fasting book, which was written by a friend of Medjugorje. This community at Caritas, they're doing the fasting, the 9-day fasting, 2 or 3 times a year. And 1 year they were fasting. they usually, after the 9-day fast, they feel the strength of the novena and its power, and they fast to break all the bonds Satan has placed on them and to obtain special graces and specific intentions. So 1 year they did it, and at the end of their fast, they just open up one of our latest messages, and it said, what you have decided to do and to offer for my intentions during the novena was not enough. You have to choose to give more because you are able. So apparently they were all discouraged. So they plan another novena after a month. And this time they fasted to offer with offering with a strong emphasis on love and obedience first, and then sacrificed. This time it was done out of love rather than duty. And they felt the real joy, and their specific intentions were answered, and in a way that exceeded everything they had hoped for. They also felt a great weight that which Satan had placed on them was lifted and broken. And through this experience, they learned the big lesson that without love, they cannot achieve nothing. And here the other lady said, the stronger the fast, the soul gains strength. We are able to obtain deeper prayer, concentrate, and meditate stronger. And we also obtain far greater desire and yearning for God and to do His will. And there are many facts that our lady told us, tells about the fasting. Fasting stops war. And through fasting, the whole plan of our lady that God Himself planned for the world's salvation during this special time will be achieved. And it also purifies our hearts from the sins of our past. Fasting coupled with prayer would obtain everything you ask for. We in turn are to conquer Satan. The arms to do so are fasting coupled with prayer. Also, especially with the community prayer, fasting will protect us from Satan's aggression in destroying marriages, creating division among priests, and will crush him in his plans for obsessions and murders in society today, of which Our Lady says Satan is responsible. Truly, it's a choice that we all need to make based on our conscience and what God is calling us to do. And the greater the need for the intentions and the greater we strive against ourselves and our wants, greater is the grace. It is truly to renounce all the things to which we are attached but are hurting our spiritual life. And it is to decide completely for God. Which is also giving up what we cherish the most. So truly, if we can fast with renunciation, it's going to strengthen us, and our prayer will be answered. Our prayer will be strong, powerful enough to overcome our own will and discover God's will. And it's going to also help us to live in the divine will. Fasting and prayer together are very powerful weapon that God gave us in our spiritual life. It's going to also keep the grace around us and keep Satan away.
We fast so we may feast.
Yes. You know, I was reading, Peter, on February 16th, 1900, Jesus was teaching Luisa about mortification. It's one of the times that she was being crucified. He was renewing the crucifixion in her. And he told her mortification must be the breath of the soul. He said that just as breathing is necessary to the body, and depending on the air it breathes, whether good or bad, it becomes infected or purified. And also from the breathing, it can be known whether the interior of man is healthy or ill, and whether all the vital parts are in harmony. The same for the soul. If she breathes the air of mortification, everything in her will be purified. All of her senses will sound with the same concordant sound. Her interior will emit a balsamic, salutary, fortifying breath. If then she does not breathe the air of mortification, everything will be discordant in the soul. She will emit a stinking, disgusting breath. While she is about to tame one passion, another will unbridle. In sum, her life will be nothing but a child's game. And Luisa goes on and she explains, she goes, it seemed to her like mortification was like an instrument. If the strings were good and strong, it would produce a beautiful, harmonious sound. But if the strings were not good, it would be out of tune, like, you know. And so it's like there's no harmony within the soul is what I got from this. So it's really and he in this I think this is volume 2-3. Yes, volume 3. I think even the first four for sure, Jesus talks a lot about mortification. And the one before that, he even talked about how mortification is like lime. Just as lime, he says, has the virtue of cooking the objects which has thrown into it. So does mortification have the virtue of cooking all the imperfections and defects which are present in the soul. So this really tells us how important it is. It says that it reaches to the point of spiritualizing also the soul of also the body, surrounding it like a circle and sealing all virtues within it until mortification has cooked you well, both the soul and the body, to the point of undoing it. It will not be able to seal in you perfectly the mark of my crucifixion.
Wow, like boiling away the imperfections. Yeah, I love that analogy that Jesus, all his analogies, but as far as the strings not being tuned, Mother knows that. She plays guitar. She's a musician. If the strings are not tuned, I don't care how good a guitarist you are, it's not going to sound good.
Yeah, and Our Lady said in December 13th, 1984 in Medjugorje, without love, you will achieve nothing. So she says to fast with love. Now people will say, well, if I fast, I'll get a headache. But if you, yes, perhaps when you first start fasting, you may get a headache. But as you get, your body gets used to it, the headache goes away. And the headache is part of the mortification too, you know. So we don't have many excuses not to mortify the flesh in some way, you know. And that's how we're going to grow in our joy too, because giving into your flesh and everything you want, everything the flesh craves, doesn't make you happy. It just, you know, at the end of the day, too much entertainment, too much of the world, you really are dissatisfied.
And it makes you addicted.
It makes you addicted. And you look for those things more and more and more. But, and you know, you can get, I'm talking about addictions, like fasting is not an addiction, but you know, you can get so used to it that you look forward to it. And it's easy. It's not so hard. Some people will fast on nothing. They find it easier just not to eat anything all day, just to drink water. Some people find the bread and water best. Like Our Lady said, that's the best fast. And, you know, if you get hungry, sometimes just drink some more water, eat some more bread in between meals. You get at night when you go to bed. Last night, we had our fast day yesterday. I was hungry. It was 11 o'clock at night. But if you drink water, the hunger goes away sometimes. Sometimes I give into the flesh and I go in the kitchen, find something to eat so that I can go to sleep, you know. But it's better.
We heard at a wedding, a priest was talking about how St. Francis used to tell his monks, it's good that nobody runs faster than anybody else. So out of humility, if on a fasting day, you see one of the monks, you know, eating something, sneaking a snack, go sit with him and eat it too. So he doesn't feel bad that he was too weak to keep the fast. So when Mother gives into her flesh in the kitchen, we're all following her out of humility.
But you know, our Lord told Louisa, he said, yes, I myself will contradict you in everything and occasionally by means of creatures. So our Lord was contradicting Louisa constantly and through others, and you get contradicted through others. That's the mortification. God is allowing you to be mortified. So if you accept everything that comes your way, when people contradict you, they disagree with you, accept it with joy and say, praise you, Jesus. And, you know, you're happy that you're being contradicted because it's a mortification. It's a way of dying to self. It's a way of growing in holiness.
Oh, I think that's ridiculous, Mother. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Jesus.
Again, you're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. And you couldn't tell it's a kindergarten. Of course it is. God wants to keep this very simple so that it's available to everybody. We're going to be back after the musical break with Maureen Flynn, the chairperson of the International Week of Prayer and Fasting. But again, we thank God for the opportunity to be here. We thank him for all our blessings. And we thank Radio Maria for the opportunity as well. So again, God has brought us back. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
Thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. And again, welcome everyone back to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. That was our recess, and all kindergartens have recess. We're talking about prayer and fasting, and we're talking about the upcoming conference. And again, it may not be directly related to the divine will, but it is ancillarily, because again, it's through prayer and fasting that we're going to dispose ourselves to receive the grace and graces necessary to recognize this gift. You know, mother, sister, I'd like to just start off really quickly, because I plan on being as quiet as I can in the second half of this program. This is an excerpt from volume, never successful though, volume 30, January 7th, 1932. Just a quick couple lines. "Then my sweet Jesus, surprising me, told me, 'My daughter, my will has surprising and different ways of acting, and it acts according to the dispositions of the creatures.'" End quote. So again, the efficacy of God's grace and graces is predicated on our disposition or lack thereof. we recognize that. Jesus tells us the efficacy of the Holy Eucharist. All the grace and graces are there, but we may not be able to receive them based on our blockages. And if we go to the scholars of the past, Augustine and Aquinas, they affirm that grace, is above the human nature. It cannot be a substance or a substantial form, but is an accidental form of the soul. Where have we heard accidental before? Through prayer and fasting, we help dispose ourselves to utilize the grace and graces God gives to us. And when we do that in the divine will, God disposes all souls, past, present, and future, to recognize this gift, to embrace this gift, to desire this gift, to journey this gift, and to finally possess this gift. It's all here. It's all connected. And so are we. Back to Italy. Mother, sisters?
Yes, I was just reading in volume one, our Lord said to Louisa, well, she was saying, "Lord, I lack everything. I have nothing." We can all identify with that, you know. And he said to her, "Do not fear. Little by little, we will do everything. I myself know how weak you are, but it is from me that you must draw strength. I want you to be always upright in your actions. With one eye, look at me, and with the other eye, look at what you are doing. I want creatures to disappear from you completely. If you receive a command, do not look at the people. No, rather, you must think that I myself want you to do what you are being commanded. So with your eye fixed in me, you will not judge anyone. You will not look at whether the thing is painful or enjoyable, whether you can do it or not. Closing your eyes to all this, you will open them to look at me alone. You will take me with you, thinking that my gaze is fixed on you, and you will say to me, 'Lord, for you alone I do this. For you alone I want to work, no longer a slave of the creatures.' So if you walk, if you work, if you speak, in anything you do, your only aim must be that of pleasing me alone. Oh, how many defects will you avoid if you do this? I also want that if people mortify you, insult you, contradict you, you keep your gaze fixed in me, thinking that from my own lips, I am saying to you, 'Daughter, I myself am the one who wants you to suffer this, not the creatures.' Remove your gaze from them. You and I always, all the others you must destroy. See, I want to make you beautiful by means of these sufferings. I want to enrich you with merits, work your soul, render you similar to me. You will give it to me as a gift. You will thank me affectionately and will be grateful to those people who give you the occasion to suffer, repaying them with some benefit. By doing this, you will walk as upright before me. Nothing will ever again give you restlessness, and you will enjoy perfect peace." So if we can accept everything that happens to us day in and day out, we will have perfect peace. We rebel inside. We criticize others. We judge others when they're mean to us, or they say nasty things, or they contradict you, and all these little wheels going on in your brain, you know, telling you all these crazy things, you know. got to turn the station off and turn to Jesus and see that it's him allowing these things in your life to mortify your flesh, to mortify your spirit, to get you where he wants you to be so that you can have total joy, total happiness, and realize your nothingness. You are nothing. He is everything. And to come to that realization, you need a lot of mortification because we're all filled with ourselves so much. That's how you get healed. We all need healing. The healing comes a lot through the mortification, not giving into the flesh.
Mother, it's very good that we talk about this and we learn so much about this. Now, also, we need to really pray a lot for grace because we can be hypocrites. You know, we can be talking about this and we don't put it into action. At least for me, anyway, when I start giving into the flesh, I start thinking about, you know, I'm supposed to do this with love for God. I'm mortifying myself only for the love of Jesus. And if I start to give in and I find myself doing that or judging others or anything at all besides food, I can question myself. And it's kind of like my radar, my parameter for myself, a measurement whether how much I really love God. And that's when I really pray harder. Lord, give me the heart, your heart, your love, the grace to really endure this for love of you and not for love of myself. And it helps to really just remind and be attentive to ourselves to really put it into action. And Mother was talking about contradiction and judgmental and all that. And I at least for my own experience, when I start doing that, it comes from the wounds, you know, the roots of the wounds of our humanity. And we all have that. We have been wounded. And we are insecure. And a lot of these come from jealousy. Or just insecurities. And so that's really true. If we deprive ourselves of our flesh, of pleasures, like Jesus told Louisa, it really helps us get over our wounds, our woundedness.
Also, to try to live the fasting in a way that we have to understand what is the goal of God for us. The mortification is the first step. We have to clean ourselves for be able to recognize the grace of God. Our Lady chose in Medjugorje for invite us to the fasting Wednesday and Friday, and between there is Thursday. I never use the correct way this word. Thursday. Thursday is the day of the institution of the Holy Eucharist. So we fasting with bread and wine also for.
I like that fast. That's a good fast.
Bread and wine. Bread and wine is the Holy Mass. We fast with the bread and water because we have to clean our. I nostri gusti,
our flavors,
taste, yes, for make more easy for us to have a taste, a spiritual taste, to recognize Jesus in the simple taste of the bread. And in that day, in that case, bread and wine, because at Mass we recognize Jesus.
We keep praying that water turns into wine, but it hasn't happened yet. So it's still just a bread and water fast. But even getting back to what Sister Magdalena was saying before, you know, it's very easy also to get proud about it and to maybe judge others who don't seem to be doing the fasting as strictly. And that's almost like another way of fasting or mortifying, you know, like I was joking before about what St. Francis taught his monks, but there's a lot of wisdom in it. Because if you find yourself judging or seeing somebody else in their weakness and you're kind of getting puffed up over how well you do it, go and do what they're doing. You know, I remember Mother used to tell us stories that of Mother Angelica during Lent, they would all give up sweets for the 40 days of Lent. But so, and Mother, what Mother Angelica would do, so nobody would get proud that they were able to go the whole 40 days without ever giving in. Somebody would give chocolate or candies to the monastery, and she would make every sister have a piece of that chocolate so they wouldn't fall into that. It's very wise.
Yeah. We have to be on guard and not fall into those traps, you know. He says, our Lord told Luis in volume one, he says, the first thing I want you is to mortify is your will. That self must be destroyed in you. I want you to keep its sacrifice as victim before me so that your will and mine may become one. Aren't you happy? So, you know, that's what mortification is all about, to make your will, one with his will. And that's living. We want to live totally in divine. We all long for that grace and that gift. So, you know, to mortify the flesh and fasting is a great way to do it. It leads us into that, to mortify it little by little. Little by little, we mortify ourselves. We get more in tune to our will being one with his will. You know, and not only with fasting, with food, but, you know, there's so many other things we can fast on. Vanity, a lot of things, you know, we can give up a lot of things. Women that are trying to look more beautiful all the time, maybe, and men too, you know, you know, give up some things that you're trying to make yourself more beautiful with, to die to your vanity, to die to those things that, you know, people are all concerned about the body today. We have here in Italy, lots of bicyclers, they're worried about the body. You know, you wonder, where are they spiritually? Or do they practice their faith? Hopefully they do, you know, but some people are more concerned about their muscles and the body being in good shape than their souls being good shape. And we have to really exercise the body, and fasting is like jogging of the soul. Yeah. Jogging of the soul, you know, to exercise the soul in the way that it should be exercised. But we have to exercise our soul in mortifying ourselves throughout the day in many things, whether it's gossip or rash judging or, you know, sleeping too long or, you know, whatever it may be that you need to die to, maybe too many entertainments, too much watching of television, giving up those things. Maybe you could give up the news and then you would be happy. Yeah. You would be happier. You would be more at peace because there's a lot of disturbing things on the news that could really upset you spiritually and emotionally and psychologically.
That's right. I have a little note here, if I can read my writing. It says, fasting must be rooted in an attitude of the heart, the interior place of our souls, that inner sanctuary of our relationship with Christ. It really helps to flush us out, so to speak. You know, we're told by Jesus that we have to empty ourselves so that he may fill us. What better way than through fasting? We recognize how unimportant most of these things, especially the physical things we do, like, for example, the television things. I mean, we thank God we're going on our 21st or 22nd year of no TV in this house. And it was hard the first year, I'll be honest with you. But now I couldn't even think about having it back. So, yeah, fasting is difficult perhaps in the beginning, especially with food for Italians. But once you get sort of the momentum, God's grace, again, the efficacy of what he's given us, and he gives us all the time, is just building in us.
I know one family, they had 7 children and they gave up television. They got the television out of the house and their children all became straight A students. A few years later, they got the television back and they became average students. So, you know, it helps.
But also the choice of the fasting for a specific kind of mortification is all, I think, is also a mystery, because I realized that reading the message of Our Lady on the fasting, and it is very powerful to for our spiritual growing. And in fact, there is a specific message that she said, fasting help us to take away all the bad consequences of all our old sins in the past. So is very powerful. And I was thinking the most important thing in the story of the Bible, the divine story between God and man, the first the original sin is hitting the apple, the tradimento.
The betrayal.
The betrayal of Judah is at the table. The first miracle, the wedding feast at Cana, and the big miracle, the institution of Holy Eucharist at table. So also there is a mystery. And we have to try also to, yes, we start with the fasting mortification for watching ourselves for this, what we have to guarire. To heal, but also what we have to accept like a new life through the sacrament, through the spiritual growing. Yes. Yes.
Beautiful. Gracias.
Also, we have to remember to ask the Virgin Mary the grace to fast during the day. We can do that in the morning when we start, but also when we find difficult during the day, when we should ask the Virgin Mary to come and help us, our guardian angel, to help us to fast better for God. And also, maybe it could be also an if we fast for something or for someone, I know our fasting, even though we say, okay, I would like to fast for the conversion of my brother, of my family, or for someone who is dying, I fast for that. And probably it will help us to fast even better. I was telling the sister before a story that when a long time ago, my mom was telling me that when she was young, when I don't know which one of my sister or brother was, she was nursing and she was fasting during the breastfeeding. And she said that when she was fasting, she used to have so much milk. And maybe someone say it's better not to fast when you are nursing or when you are pregnant, but actually if you really do with love, as mother was saying, and with faith, a miracle can happen.
Absolutely. Expect a miracle.
Volume 3, December 30th, 1899, our Lord tells Louisa, humiliation must not only be accepted, but also loved, so much so as to chew it like food. Humiliation, when it is well chewed, gives rise to mortification. That is, humiliation and mortification are two most powerful means in order to get out of certain hitches and obtain those graces which are needed. The more the piece of iron is beaten on the anvil, the more it sparkles with fire and is purged. The same for the soul. The more she is humiliated and beaten on the anvil of mortification, the more she sparkles with celestial fire and is purged. If she really wants to walk along the path of good, if then she is false, it happens all the opposite. So mortification helps us to grow in humiliation. And humiliation is a mortification. You know, we get humiliated all the time, but, you know, in many ways that's because we're proud. We wouldn't be humiliated if we were humble, you know. You can't humiliate a humble person, you know. They're already at the bottom of the barrel, they feel. So there's nothing you can do to push them down any further, you know. So that's to realize your, to grow in humility is a way to come to realize your nothingness. Our Lord in the Divine Will writings told Louisa, he didn't want us to just be humble. He wanted us to realize our nothingness, that we can everything for us, everything in us. He wants to do everything in and through us. And he says that fasting and mortification is easy when we know that he is doing it within us. If you let him fast in you, your fasting will be much easier. Everything you do, you're eating bread and water. You like to eat bread, Peter. So if you eat that bread in divine will, Jesus is eating it in you. It's a great divine will act. Our Lady said bread and water. So you're obedient to the Blessed Mother that asked that in Medjugorje. She asked for 3 rosaries to be said every day. That might be difficult for some people, but don't do it in a burdensome way. Do it out of love and you're going to see miracles happen in your life. Today, on the day Our Lady of the Rosary, great feast day today, you know, we should realize the great gift our Lord has given us through the Rosary, and pray it well, you know, and ask our Lord to pray it in you, and then you're going to pray it better. But our Lord Louisa even said that in Volume 1, she said, you know, she wondered how she was going to mortify herself so much and in her work and everything she did. He wanted everything to be a mortification for her because he had a great mission for Louisa. She had to be mortified and everything. She had to be crucified. And she was gone through the crucifixion often and many times a day sometimes. And our Lord said, don't worry, I will help you. I will do it in you. And even in her work, she says, when she would realize she was calling him into her work, she was doing this, I'd call it kind of needlepoint, trumbula. And she would do that. And what she would take normally 2 hours to do, it would be done in 1 hour when she called Jesus into doing it with her. So as you call him into all of your activities, you're going to see that you get your work done quicker. It's going to be done better because you're not thinking of yourself. You're focusing on him within you. And so when you take yourself out of the picture, you stop stumbling so much. You're going to do everything better. You know, when I was at Mother Angelica's, I had to play the organ every day at Mass. And, you know, I had to teach myself to play it. I wasn't an organist. I had maybe a year of piano in college, you know. So I had to really work at it, you know. But when I would when I would be playing, I'd practice, you know, and when I'd practice, it was fine. I would make no mistakes, you know, but then when I'd be performing and we had mass every day, an hour mass every day, and it was televised, and they would put the camera right on me and I would see that, I'd start thinking of myself and I'd make all kinds of mistakes. So when I forgot about myself and played, I was fine. But when I started thinking of myself, I make all these mistakes, you know, and that's how it is in all of our work. If we think of ourselves, we're going to fumble, you know. But we think of God doing the act in us, it's going to be done well and right, and we're going to get ourselves out of the picture.
Yeah, that made me think about something. I think I was listening to a Mother Angelica program or something. I don't remember, but I that made me think of how, or maybe it was a story you told us, Mother, but how, you know, and we've talked about this too a little before with Sister Magdalena, how you could even fall into pride. So, you know, when you're thinking of, when you're looking at yourself, let's say you're fasting and you're thinking, wow, I'm doing so great. You know, I've made it this far, and somebody doesn't do so great. And you start looking, then you lack in charity. So there's where your fast is, the fruit of it is, you know, so it's, yeah, it's important not to look at yourself and to just to look at Jesus.
Great. Sorry, we're shifting the microphone.
Okay, so on May 28th, 1904, Jesus tells Luisa how, like, the first bomb that must be in the interior of ourselves should be mortification. So this is what Jesus tells Luisa. I'm going to read a few lines from this. My daughter, the first bomb which must be primed in the interior of the soul is mortification. When this bomb is thrown into the soul, it knocks everything down and immolates everything to God. In fact, the soul, it is as though there are many palaces, but all of vices, such as pride, disobedience, along with many other vices, and the bomb of mortification, knocking everything down, rebuilds as many other palaces of virtue, immolating them and sacrificing them all to the glory of God. So this passage right here, it really shows the importance of, like, mortification and what it does to us spiritually. So if you, like, use imagery in your head, you can imagine it as, like, a bomb, like mortification as a bomb, getting rid of all these, like, vices we have. And also, if you look up the definition of what self-mortification means on a dictionary, the definition that would come up is the infliction of pain or discomfort on oneself. So it's basically like you choosing to, like, give up sweets or ice cream for some reason. And it's also important to remember to not be hypocritical when you're fasting. So in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, this is what Jesus tells his, this is what Jesus tells his apostles about fasting. When you are fasting, do not put on a gloomy look, as the hypocrites do. They go about looking unsightly to let people know they are fasting. In truth, I tell you, they have had their reward. But when you fast, put scent on your head and wash your face, so that no one will know you are fasting except your Father, who sees all that is done in secret. And your Father who sees all that is done in secret will reward you. So, like, if we... So when we do fasting, we shouldn't worry about, like, impressing others, like, oh, what do others think of me? It should really be between you and God. So it's kind of like fasting. It's kind of like praying too. Like, the more you love Jesus, the better you'll fast. And also fasting and doing the self-mortification and even denying us legitimate things. It also helps us to, like, die to ourselves. So in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 25, Jesus tells his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So when we just really, like, pray and mortify ourselves, even of, like, legitimate things, that'll really help us to, like, deny ourselves and to get closer to Jesus and to be more like him. And also, the more we fast, like, the better we can pray. And fasting doesn't only have, like, spiritual benefit, it also has, like, health benefits.
Volume 3, February 13th, 1900, our Lord says, just as lime has the virtue of cooking the objects which are thrown into it, so does mortification have the virtue of cooking all the imperfections and defects which are present in the soul. And it reaches the point of spiritualizing also the body, surrounding it like a circle and sealing all virtues within it until mortification has cooked you well, both the body and the soul, to the point of undoing it. It will not be able to seal in you perfectly the mark of my crucifixion. So that's what purgatory is all about. If we don't mortify ourselves here, die to ourselves here, be detached from everything of the world, got to go to purgatory and do it. But our Lord says, you know, it's possible for those living in the divine will to have their purgatory here on earth and to eliminate purgatory. So, try to realize everything that comes your way is our Lord teaching you, leading you, and mortifying you to become perfect.
So, beautiful Lord, again, giving us all the grace and graces necessary. We just need to dispose ourselves so that we can have the efficacy, the power that he wants to transmit. Prayer and fasting. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters. We're pretty much out of time right now. I wanted to end, not with a prayer, but I guess it is sort of a prayer. This is a statement from Father Ludwig Betta, a German priest who actually did the German translations of the Hours of the Passion. Very profound what he said. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The kingdom of the divine will keeps me busy day and night. It is the most important thing in my life. And I would like this divine will to be my own life. The deeper we penetrate into this treatise, the more we discover the divine, which absorbs us and penetrates us so gently and sweetly that to follow it and live it is everything. Amen.
Amen.
Prayer and fasting. Closeness to Jesus, emptying us so he may fill us. Mother, sisters, we have everything. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Blessed Lord. And thank you, Radio Maria, for this opportunity. See everyone next week.
God bless.